Bible reading now. So if you've got your Bibles with you, open them up to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to be reading tonight verses 27 through to 36. And the title of my sermon is very unoriginally the subheading that you'll probably see in your Bible, which is Love Your Enemies. This is what we read in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 36. And this is what Jesus says. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do likewise to them. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So tonight, we're looking at love your enemy. Now, last week we saw that when we look at the Bible, and when we think about Christianity, it can be very easy to think being a follower of Jesus, to be a Christian, is all about the things that we can do or the things that we can't do. Maybe for some of us, we focus more on the things that we can't do. We see Christianity as a list of rules that you can't do. You cannot do this, you cannot do that. And we just see Christianity as simply do's and don'ts. As we saw last week, that's not quite the case. But when we read another part of the Bible like we just have tonight, we might think that we're going back to that mentality of just doing something. Christianity is about what you do. Tonight, we can read that and we can say Christianity is about being kind. Christianity is about being nice. Christianity is about being generous. And maybe we look at that and think that it's just about being kind, nice and generous for no other reason than just being kind, nice and generous. Maybe when you hear words like, when someone strikes you on the one cheek, turn the other cheek, you think that to be a Christian means that you're just a pushover, that you're weak, that you have no backbone and that you can't stand up for what you believe in. Maybe you think this whole idea that Jesus is talking about tonight, loving your enemy, is weak. Maybe you think it's unrealistic. Does Jesus want those who follow him just to be verbal and physical punching bags? Are we there just to be beat up by people because we just want to be kind, we just want to be nice, and we just want to be generous to people? And if that's what you're thinking, and you think you've already figured this out, please don't switch off, stay with us, because there is so much more to what Jesus is saying here than just a kindness 101 lesson. So much more. And I hope we see that by the end of our night tonight, by the end of our time together tonight. Now, when we look at this passage, maybe we think this is unrealistic because it's coming from Jesus, who was perfect, he had things easy, he just had things really cruisy in life, didn't really know much about what it was to have an enemy. But we know from working through Luke's gospel that the words Jesus is saying tonight are coming from somebody who knows what it's like to have enemies. He knows all about having people oppose him. He knows this far better than we probably will ever know. He knows that his enemies were going to nail him to a cross. The words of Jesus are confronting in that they challenge us. What we read last week was also confronting for those who oppose Jesus. But none of what Jesus says could fall into hate speech. And I want to say that clearly because last week Jesus gave a warning to those who don't want to follow him. It was a warning to those who were rich, those who were full, those who had plenty of food to eat because they were chasing the physical things in life, those who were laughing now because things were so easy because the world didn't oppose them, people who were thought well of because they compromised enough to fit into society's view of what was right living, even if it wasn't necessarily honouring to God. Basically, what Jesus says last week is if we chase what we might see as the car, the money, the promotion, the house, the dog, all those sorts of things, none of these things which are bad on their own, but if we chase those things more than we chase after knowing Jesus, then we face an eternity away from the love of God, an eternity in hell. It's a serious warning. It's a serious warning to people who do not follow Jesus, who do not love Jesus. And whether you've grown up in a Christian family, whether you're hearing the Bible tonight for the first time, it's a warning which each and every one of us needed. We all need to hear that. Jesus doesn't say this, though, to divide people into two groups. One group of people who love him and who he's going to treat kindly, and another group of people who don't love him, so he's going to use that as justification to treat them poorly. And that's part of the challenge of what we see tonight. Because when we face opposition, when people aren't supportive of us, when people go out of their way to make life difficult for us, whether it's a bully at school, whether it's a micromanaging boss, whether it's a family member who just has to be oppressive in all your decision-making choices that you make in life, we tend to treat these people poorly. Our reaction to people who oppose us is to treat them like trash. Now, it's quite likely they started it. It's quite likely that that mistreatment we've received is not started by us. I'm not arguing that. But Jesus reminds us here that it doesn't matter who started the disagreement, it doesn't matter who started the mistreatment. If we want to follow Jesus, if we want to have the forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers to us, and we cannot fight fire with fire. If people are mean to us, we cannot respond by being mean in return. We cannot retaliate. Now, I want to emphasize again, it's not just about being kind or generous. That's part of it. But there's a bigger picture going on here. There's a bigger picture here because Jesus came down to earth to show us God's love. And what we're called to do here is to reflect God's goodness to everyone around us. And we see that in two ways, both in how we treat our enemies and also in how we treat our friends. So the first of these, which we've touched on already tonight, is to love your enemies. And this is what Jesus says. Well, we did read it before, but just to keep it fresh in our minds. Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Yeah, that's a big statement. That's a really big call here. And whether you're a Christian or not, there's principles here for each and every one of us. While they have very different reasons for it, we hear similar things come out from gurus. We hear people like Gandhi and Sun Tzu. You know, Sun Tzu wrote a book called The Art of War, promoting similar views at times, where we should be willing to turn the other cheek, where we shouldn't be looking to contribute to conflict. What Jesus says here has truth that applies for every single person on the face of the earth. The fact that this is hard, the fact that we struggle to do this, does not take away or minimize even the slightest bit the truth of what Jesus says here. It's hard, but we know from all sorts of places throughout the Bible that there is so much to be gained by not retaliating. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, which is part of the wisdom literature, which I find myself needing more and more, it says this: "A soft word turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." But But when you're told, we like those principles, but when we're told to love your enemy, when we're told by Jesus that when people curse you, when people verbally abuse you, when people verbally wish the worst for you, that you turn around and you bless them, that's really difficult. When they treat you spitefully, when they spitefully use you, pray for them. Not praying that God would rain down fire and brimstone on them. Pray that God would help them see goodness found in Him. That they would be changed from these spiteful people who use others for their good to love God. When they hit you on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If someone takes your cloak, don't hold back your tunic from them either. If someone takes your goods, don't ask for them back. This is a huge thing that Jesus says his followers should be doing. And if you're anything like me, you've probably started looking for loopholes. Is that really what Jesus meant? I'm sure Jesus wouldn't really want me going around giving my jumpers and my shirts to anyone who just said, give me your jumper and shirt. Not only is my complexion too pale, that would be very scary, but that's my jumper. That's my shirt. Those are things that God has blessed me with, so why would I give up what God has blessed me with? We look for reasons to try and hang on to what we have. If someone hits me in the face, I'm not going to turn the other cheek and say, please have another go. I don't want to do that. That's not my inclination. When we look at what's going on in the book of Luke, this is a really helpful thing for us to hear right now where we're at following Jesus' life. Last week, Jesus listed people who would be blessed. People who were hungry, people who were poor, people who were excluded, people who were reviled and hated. These are the people that will be blessed. These are not the people who are being treated kindly. And even if we're following Jesus and we haven't faced those things yet, to follow Jesus means that we need to be willing to face those things, to face that mistreatment for his sake, so that we can show others how great he is, how much we care for him more than we care for anything else in this world. It's not a walk in the park, and Jesus knows that his followers will have it tough. And he boils it down to a sentence for us in verse 31. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do likewise to them. And maybe you hear that sentence and say, that sounds so nice, but is that what actually happens in life? Is this a realistic expectation that Jesus has of us? People will mistreat us, we've been told. We struggle with this. Now, if we're still in that loophole mentality, maybe we think, maybe it would just be easier. Maybe life would be so much easier if we just spent time with people who were kind to us. If we only associated with people who were good to us in the first place, wouldn't that be so much nicer? And what Jesus says is good. I think we all like these principles here of not aggravating situations. I think we would all prefer peace to conflict. So why not just limit ourselves to people who treat us kindly in the first place? Isn't that a much better situation? And we're not tempted to break this commandment that Jesus gives us. Well, not only is that very unrealistic, it's almost as if Jesus preempts this. And he says to us that if we're just kind, or if we just lend to people who are kind to us, or if we just treat others nicer who treat us kind in the first place, what good is that for us? Verse 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Now, Jesus isn't saying here that his followers never sin. He's not saying here that Christians never sin. But he's saying here the Christians, those people willing to give up everything they have to follow him, to promote his kingdom, to tell others of the goodness and grace and mercy found in Jesus and only in Jesus, then we will be working to avoid sin in our lives. So again, he's not saying we're not perfect, but we'll be actively working towards living lives that are not violent, that are not destructive, and that are not disharmonious with the people around us. Apparently disharmonious is a word. See, if we're just kind to people who are kind to us, there is no value in that for us. Again, last week, that first list I showed of those people who the woes are coming to them. These horrible things are coming to them if they don't follow Jesus. Part of that is that they were well thought of by the people around them. That wasn't going to end well because they weren't well thought of by God. They weren't trusting God. Those people who had money right now, that's all they were going to get. There was no more reward coming for them. When we follow Jesus, we will follow. We need to be willing to face hunger and poverty and mistreatment for his sake. To chase the comforts of life right now, that's all we're going to get. And what we learned last week is that the credit we get right now, if we lend to somebody and they lend back to us, that's all we've got. Maybe you think that's okay. The books balance out in the end of the day. It's not a bad place to be at. But that's really sad. If that is all that we settle for, when Jesus offers so much more than that, that is really sad. Jesus offers us eternal life. Jesus offers us perfectly resurrected bodies. Jesus offers us an eternity with God where there is no pain, where there is no suffering, where there is none of those things. So why would we settle for what we can have right now? So the challenge Jesus gives us to love our enemies goes along with the challenge that we should be willing to lend to other people and hope for nothing in return. That might sound, okay, we can do that. We can do that. But if you ever help somebody move house and then when it's your turn to move house comes up and they're just never there, you feel jibbed, don't you? What about when you catch up with somebody for coffee or for breakfast or for lunch? You say, I'll get it this time. You meet up with them another couple of times. They never even offer to pay it back. We don't like that. We don't do this well sometimes. We so often look for the reward. We look for getting something back. We look for the best deal that we can find. We look for the quickest way that we can have gratification. Turning the other cheek. Giving somebody both your shirt and your jumper when they ask for it. Being generous to people without expecting anything back in return. None of these things fit the bill of instant gratification that we chase. In fact, all of them suggest otherwise. They suggest suffering. They suggest hardship. They suggest self-sacrifice. And that doesn't carry much appeal for us. Remember, this is not in a vacuum. There's a continuation of what we saw last week. And the reward for doing these things, the reward for showing that we love God more than we love the things we have here on earth, the reward for those things is great. The reward for those things may not be the instant gratification that we're looking for, but the reward for those things is the kingdom of God. It's to be sons of the Most High. Doing these things, showing that we care about other people. and that we're willing to demonstrate to others the goodness that God has shown to us may result in mistreatment right now. It may result in us being out of pocket. It may result in people looking down at us because they disagree with why we do what we do. In terms of comfortable living, it may not result in that, and it quite likely won't. To follow Jesus is not easy. But to follow Jesus, to believe in Jesus, is to have forgiveness from sin. It's to have freedom to live in a way which we were designed to live, to fulfill the reason we were created by God in the first place. Keep saying it's not easy. And maybe this isn't the best sales pitch in terms of appealing to people to follow Jesus. From a marketing perspective, and Stephen's not here tonight, but I don't think I'll be doing a good job on that front. But when we look at what we've covered of what Jesus says, do we like the sound of it? I think we do. I think we do like the principles that Jesus tells us to follow. To seek peace. To promote peace. To show genuine love and care to the people around us. I think we like those things. How many shirts have you seen that say things like drop beats, not bombs? That's really tacky, that one, but we see those things. How many shirts do we see with peace logos on them? We want peace. We want to live peaceably with the people around them. And we do struggle when we're mistreated. But what helps when we struggle is to look at an example. And when we look to Jesus and the life that he lived, we see the perfect example to follow. Because Jesus understood more about enemies and opposition than we ever will. Sometimes the mistreatment we receive is in part because of what we contribute to it. Now, that doesn't excuse mistreatment at all. But there's times where people respond to us in ways which aren't particularly helpful. But Jesus was opposed far more than us. And he never contributed to that by doing wrong. I say, but a few weeks ago, we were talking about the Pharisees thinking it would be okay to kill Jesus. He said things that upset people. But what Jesus said was he told people of the love of God. He told people that in him there was forgiveness of sins and that he could forgive sins. He said that he was God and he was not lying. But people hated him for it. He healed. And people couldn't stand it. He came to save us from sin. And he was killed for it. Now, none of those things are reasons to be mistreated. But he was. And he died on the cross. And that was exactly why he came. He came to die on the cross for people who were not his friends, people who were in fact his enemies. In Romans chapter 5 verse 10 we read this. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Every single person who has ever believed in Jesus was an enemy of Jesus. And we did not become friends with Jesus. We did not get put into a right relationship with Jesus because of what we did, but because of how Jesus treated us when we were his enemies. If Jesus had treated us the way that we so often treat people who mistreat us, then we would never, ever have any hope of salvation from sin. Jesus would never have come down into this world that we live in. Jesus is the perfect example of loving your enemies. He gave up his life for his enemies, and in giving up his life for those who are opposed to him, even some of us today have been made right with God. When we love our enemies, it's not just about the warm, fluffy morality we might associate with it. When Jesus says to love your enemies, it's not about being good just for the sake of being good. It's about following in the footsteps of the one who came to save the world. We could never die for the sins of other people. But the good news is we don't have to, because Jesus has already done that. In showing kindness to others, we use that as an opportunity to open up conversations and to show others in our actions that we have been changed by a loving God. A God who has given us more than we could ever deserve. A God who has given us life when we were his enemies. When we were enemies of the kingdom of God, he did everything we needed to be able to inherit the kingdom of God, the opposite of what we would deserve. This really is hard. This will cause us hurt and upset in our lives to do these things. We may have people take advantage of us. We may have people revile us. We may have people beat us physically for believing in Jesus. But this is worth it. Because in doing this, we have opportunities to show others a loving God. We have opportunity to show others a merciful God. In not retaliating. In lending and expecting nothing back. We're not showing weakness. What we're showing is real strength. Real courage. Real backbone and a real belief in God. God who provides for each and every one of our needs. God who forgave our sins when we were his enemies. God who is our constant source in any good time or in any bad time. This is why Jesus says to love our enemies. Because it's a chance, an opportunity for us to show to others the love that God has shown to us first.